Here it is, Around the Nation on Triple M. Good afternoon, everybody. It's the midweek edition with myself, Tony Martin.
One vote.
Ben Cavalli.
One vote.
Pushing the buttons, it's Richard Marsland.
Thank you, Volleyball Video.
All right. Every other show on this fine network is talking football. We are the premier football network these days.
Absolutely.
You get a feeling we're letting the side down. Well, we're working the other end of the pool at the moment, trying to come up with characters, material, things like that will catch on with the general public. Now,
none of my ideas seem to be catching on.
When you got time?
Everybody loves Chemical Ali.
Everybody likes that.
Take an off. At home with our dinner jacket.
It's not working.
There was some great gear last
time. We'll talk about that later, can't we?
I'm a Hollywood reporter.
It's not camp enough.
But what do you need for that again?
Well, you just need to that noise and a word and the name Lindsay Lohan.
So ask me anything. Ask me anything.
Hey, what's going on in Tinseltown?
Not today,
Dan.
Maureen McCormick and Ian Plum on the set of the Brady Bunch. What's the latest there?
No, I didn't know. Okay, and Kenny GMD was a big fat flop. We need new ideas, and we've got them!
Industry.
Hi, I'm Richard Marsland, the Fridge Whisperer. All right, thank God you're here. This fridge is a shop bird.
I'll be the judge of that.
With the help of this little baby,
private unionized coffee.
I'll just leave that there, and now we'll wait.
Let's see, Calvin A's a 3-1-6
like that. 4 hours and 15 minutes.
It's fantastic.
It's only about 12 seconds. Nope. This FUIC is still room temperature. This fridge is a shot bird.
I said that.
There's only room for one Fridge Whisperer in this set.
This so-called Fridge Whisperer.
Okay. What whispers have I got here? Nope. I'm just going to have to do the dance. Hit it. Nothing.
Speak for yourself.
I'm just going to have to sell it.
Once you throw the movement back where there is,
it'll be on a minibar fridge. In that case, you can hit one of the pressure points. If you can just hold the door open, I'll just press the switch to keep the light on. I'll just keep the light on.
Readjusting the tactics.
I want to say something else there.
Yeah.
The area management. Oh, yes. It's tasty news at the time. It's like Ed coaches a hot service basketball team.
Yeah, does he work?
And some of them. Bridget Duclos was one of them, and she has accused him of
pulling his own company on the sidelines.
It's a very stressful situation, though. Don't smoke. What are you going to do?
And you're doing drink, which doesn't explain that karaoke performance we heard earlier in the week.
For those who missed that, look, sports, we do know about the poker, the World Poker Tour.
Oh, how's it going?
Brought to you by Mikhail Amber Bach.
Hmm?
I don't know.
It's Amber Bach.
I'm not sure. I love it. Gear on the Foxtel with Mike Sexton and Vince Van Patten and laying down the twigs and branches. He's on a morphine grip. Great terminology. A lot of our listeners get into it too. Listen to this email from Craig White. He says, I was playing poker on the weekend and I got myself what you call, Tony, the Busey Juicy. Oh, yeah, that's when Gary Busey was on Celebrity Poker. Picked himself up for ages. First hand, went all in with two twos. I was shown the door in about 25 seconds. Wouldn't even stop to her, but what's her name?
You know, that one.
The old one is not on it anymore.
I saw a bit of Gary Busey last week on the Buddy Holly story, which they're running around on the TV every day.
I'm ready for an Oscar for that.
Yeah, it's a pretty good movie. Yeah. It's one of those movies, those biopics, where, as you've mentioned before, every scene is some sort of, you know, big juncture in the world.
It's like a ghost train version of someone's life.
Oh, look, there's the bit where Charlie Chaplin did that. Oh, look, there's the bit where Gandhi did that. He's on tour with the Big Bopper, and pretty much every time the Big Bopper walks into a room, he actually says, hello, baby.
Right.
He walks onto the bus, he walks onto the plane, hello, baby. It's the Big Bopper.
It's like Ray Charles, that one. He rides him down off the bus and the bloke playing a trumpet on the corner.
Hey, I'm Quincy Jones, we should go into that jam.
That got Oscar nominations.
Indeed.
Zero idea, but listen to what Whitey says about the poker. He's sitting around the table, they're getting into it. A bloke says he's got the radio announcer. You know how they have these names? Like on the World Poker Tour, it'll be the Dolly Parton here, 9 to 5. Stuff like that. So this guy's got the radio announcer, which is Ace Jack, Alan Jones.
Oh.
Ouch. So this bloke, Whitey, says, I then told him Alan Jones should be a couple of queens, which brought many laughs from the other players. But this is to get this moment in. Yeah. I then went on to say something about public toilet blocks, which just brought dirty looks and frowns from everybody. Cue the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's probably true.
Can we get that music out to everybody?
Yeah, they need it.
A little bell.
Do a mail out.
15 million birds for that team. Everybody needs it, apparently, for playing and drawing.
Right, that's fine for sport, Tony.
Yeah.
But what about showbiz?
Yeah.
What about the big story?
Here we go. Here, look at this. Kate Ritchie, Sally from Home and Away.
Right.
Looks like she might be hanging up the, whatever you hang up when you stop acting.
Hanging up the face kit.
But luckily, we have now got an exclusive interview.
Ooh.
Sally from Home and Away, Kate Ritchie.
Kate, 20 years on Home and Away, amazing. I mean, what have you learned in that time?
I'm on TV.
Thanks for your time.
See, the afternoon listeners wouldn't have heard any of your exclusive interviews.
Quite amazing.
That's actually quite long.
Yeah.
What's like this?
Good morning.
I listen to music and then come back with something else. As we do, I'll get this. Oh, thank you very much. The wall. Will there be a bit of ice out
here?
And get this.
Flower.
Oh, flower. Pardon me. I wouldn't be trouble.
I've never heard it before.
Okay, Triple M around the nation. Get this as the program.
Right.
Your home of accurate information, certainly football information.
Yeah.
Who's our favourite AFL football player?
Vince Johnson.
Yeah, from Geelong.
Yeah.
He was the man who sculled a bottle of sunscreen off the back of someone's porch one night.
Because strike two, Tone. Strike three was when he broke his ankle, I think it was, trying to jump the fence to get back into a pub that had closed.
Oh, why, how many votes for that guy? He would have got all the votes.
We've been there. Oh, that round the middle. No mention. No footage.
Well, Darren, how come?
I had emailed in to say, playing for Geelong, of course, your favourite footballer, and mine, Mr. Sunscreen.
Please note that Johnson has played the best football of his career this season. Give him a round. He also said, listen to this. This is the kind of gear we get slipped by our listeners. They just meet us outside the phone box and flip you the envelope and what treat.
envelope. Well, stuff like this. I have a recording of Rex Hunt throwing in a reference and dodgy impression of Blakey from On the Buses during the call of a footy game. Email me if you're interested.
Oh, I think you know we are.
How come?
You know we are. What about some international news?
What have you got for us?
Well, it's time to go into current events.
Is that right?
There was no thing when I wanted it.
Yeah, we were going to have one, but then you've got it then, so Richard.
If you didn't tell me which one you would like.
Yeah.
Well, a current event, like international affairs one.
Just that big
list. I don't care.
If you have a long one, you can have a couple of mouthfuls of sandwich. There you go. This is current affairs, Steve.
Okay.
Iranian President Ahmadinejad said in a speech to an American university that there were, quote, no homosexuals in his country.
That's right.
He later added, could you introduce me to some? I can't find anyone to come and watch hair play with me.
Stuff about unlimited freedom for women in Iran.
And there was that look on in his eyes of, this happened at home, I just have all these people killed.
Why are these people still breathing?
This one here. Just keep staring. What about Britney Spears? Last week she claimed, or an onlooker claimed, they overheard Britney saying, I look like a fat pig.
But she won't have. She's never looked hotter.
Well, look at this shot of her getting out of
her again
in the new weekly this week with what appears to be a door sausage. A door snag around her waist. No, it's just part of Britney.
Give me a look.
I would, but I need a funny bit. Oh, it's not actually that funny. But,
oh, no, this is good.
I'll just tear that off.
Okay, thank you, mate.
If you've read the story in New Weekly, as you know, people are saying that she's deliberately stumbling out of nightclubs drunk, showing up, slurring her words and being irresponsible because she doesn't want her kid. She wants Kate Bedner to face off.
That's really a
deliberate plan.
Does that work?
Well, that's what it's saying. Tried that one in your family?
No, I'm sure someone has.
Okay, but anyway, this bloke who's, I can't get away from his name, the angry judge who's been condemning Britney, Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Scott Gordon.
This is a great quote from him. Commissioner Gordon will order the fierce boys to be turned over to Kayfed, says an insider. Britney's erratic behaviour seems to be getting even worse. I'd like to think it was Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, what we need to solve this Britney Spears case. It's two fine men who are two fine, good, upstanding.
That's a solution for everything. But all these policemen have been ever used them.
Fine gentlemen.
You're sitting at home.
Quality old men these days.
I know you like the blokes in the case, but these fellas, they're on the payroll, they're not doing anything.
That confused everybody.
Sorry.
I just love all those speeches, Commissioner Gordon.
What fine, upstanding men they
are. Sit there and cop it because he's incompetent and he has to sit there and hear it. It's like he's the little kid that nobody likes. He's the younger brother that's useless and the older twins are amazing.
Who was the bad guy today?
It was so baffling I had to turn it off. It was the green
on Foxtel
classics every morning at 8, which is why I get up in the morning. It's Kato was there with the green hornet.
Oh, crossover from another series.
Yeah, and it started with a conveyor belt which must have gone for 15 minutes.
You know how we got out of it?
For some reason, the bad guy came in and went,
well, that man, I know I stuck you to this conveyor belt and you're about to die any second. What would happen if I sprayed this invisible get out of the conveyor belt spray on you?
What did Batman do? Punch him in the face. Of course he was going to do that.
Wasn't Kato from the Green Hornet?
It was Bruce Lee.
It is Bruce Lee.
So how does Bruce Lee feel in one of them fight scenes? It was called the Kato Show in China.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. It was called the Commissioner Gordon Show. My house. Yeah, man. Have we got one over there?
Of course we have. Let's get this.
Piece of paper in front of me. I mean, after all, it is get there.
I've never seen no one
get enough out of him. Paintball gun. I'll point that out. They're completely harmless. Why have I got so many bits of paper in front of me? Well, Britney Spears section in the New Weekly alone.
To lift out souvenir edition.
All of this hitmen hired to kill Tapeheads. Who would have done that? The FBI and LAPD have investigated serious crime. A contract hit has been taken out on America's most hated rapper.
Critics?
Quite possibly. Fans. Just anyone who bought the album, but
yeah.
Look on the bottom. Did that actually happen? I don't know. But then listen to this. Detectives found nothing to substantiate the allegations. The case is closed.
There we go.
Just drawing attention to what? The catered record didn't work. Celebrity boxing didn't do much.
Yeah.
I claimed someone's trying to kill me. At least it's believable.
So
very sad.
Couldn't get any hitmen to come on board, though. No one wanted to touch it.
I'm just going to show you. You have not seen this photo of Courtney Love in the new.
Oh, is there one?
In the NW.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to show it to you live on air.
Check that out!
Stop fiddling about your face, Courtney.
Someone's put a wig on a lizard.
Now, Bernice, Olsen Hamilton looks like to me she's about to give birth.
Okay, if the Olsen twins were 308 years old and then got their face rearranged with Play-Doh, this is close to what she'd look like. It's like Tara Reid looking pretty normal.
Did she replace herself with a Madame Tussauds version of herself?
That's what it looks like.
Animatronic. Yeah, geez, even Pete Burns from Dead or Alive is going, yep, I'm looking quite normal. He's got the worst.
Wow.
You need to be a reaction. It's quite. You show that photo to anyone. It's in the New Weekly this week.
He's got two Bridgestone tires, strapped them to her face, painted them red, and gone near the lips.
Of course she has. One of the things there is. And then, of course, equally unusual is Paris Hilton. Is she dating Paul Sorvino? You see this?
Oh, wow. Yeah,
it's just a photo of Paul Sorvino and Paris Hilton somewhere together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It looks to me like they're on together.
Yeah.
He's Paulie from Goodfellas and also Henry Kissinger from the Nixon movie.
That's right.
But because he's so much older than Paris Hilton, he's attracted this headline from New Weekly, the old overweight actor.
Hey.
Okay, he's like 60. He pretty much looks exactly the same as he did in Goodfellas nearly 20 years ago. He's looking pretty good, I reckon.
He's looking pretty tan.
Paul Sorvino.
He's pretty hot.
Fat old fool. That's very rude. So much more to get through, but I feel like I'm eating into the listeners' time.
Oh, yeah, good topic today, Tone.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to dodgy school trips? Okay, I was going to say, dangle a bit of sizzle, but there it is, dodgy school trips. Next, I'll get this. And the real thing, that's this show, get this, around the nation on Triple M. Thank you, you two. Who's bringing you this show? You're probably asking it by about now. Oh, look, the Nissan Navara Ute of the Year. That's what 4x4 Australia magazine reckons. The turbo diesel 5-speed automatic model, Navara, was tested against a host of its own
competitors. They're not a
clear winner. Absolutely. So many points ahead of the others.
Oh, very well.
Because of the four beverage holders, okay. Primarily. Mm. The China Hutch.
Oh, yeah. People are into the China Hutch.
What other ute has a China Hutch? A battery wheel.
I don't know why there would be one, but there is. I'm pretty sure there is.
What a 4x4, and of course, this show. Yeah, this is where we like to go climbing. Talkback Mountain. Okay.
No, it isn't.
Steel horse. Thinking about food.
Was it an motorbike, man?
It's a hog,
yeah.
But isn't that the song from Young Gun?
I think it possibly is.
Is that on Real Horse?
Yeah, Young Guns 2, possibly.
Don't you, Lou Diamond Phillips getting shot on the top of a saloon? Try and forget that.
I'm looking for this email because, the way you just managed to allude to food,
like, we hadn't even got out of the block. And then the other day, a lot of people have written in about your rant about the Smurfs and how delicious they look.
Oh, I'm glad we brought this up because it leads me to a dump there.
Yeah, Katie Hawking. Mm-hmm. Imagine how happy Ed would be if he got to savour the culinary wonder that is supposedly a Smurf.
I didn't realise that was the plot.
So the whole thing is based around, see, Gargamel is apparently a wizard.
Well, he used to be a Smurf, didn't he? That's what I heard.
And he was flying to an evil wizard.
You heard.
Flying who?
Watch out for him.
to hear that.
We're around the campfire.
Which Gokom?
Which, is the forum?
Which golf club is this?
No, I heard the Gargamel was previously a small backstory.
Yeah.
And that was why he was always trying to seek revenge for his belly. You know, how many of them are. And also, why would you go after Smurfs when they're living under delicious mushrooms?
Mm.
The mushrooms, surely.
Yeah.
Look, here we go. Gargamel is a wizard. At the very least, he's an alchemist. He wants to smurf for two reasons. Apparently, first, because they're absolutely delicious.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And secondly, because apparently he's got this mixture where he's going to make gold. And he needs smurf. Smurf's one of the ingredients.
Just reminded me of the football finals are coming up. Your smurf connection.
But my point is,
look at this on Triple E.
Clearly, the pastry chef one would be the most delicious. Because he's cream-filled.
Right.
Then hefty, because he works out, he'd be nice and lean.
Okay.
Right. Papa would be all chewy. Yeah. Nobody wants that. Richard reckons that the tastiest smurf would be Smurfette.
So that's what we do.
This is a smurfmonger.
Okay, so what we're going to do today is rank the Smurfs in order of deliciousness. And this is not a phone topic.
No, that's a dumbbell where I come from.
Right.
The phone topic today is dodgy school trips.
Oh, dodgy school trips. You mean online?
No, but someone was, a friend of mine was telling me that they live in the country.
Yeah.
And they got brought to the major capital near their country town for a school trip. And they only went to two places. The Lost Dog's Home and the Council Commission Flats. Just to show them
how not to turn out.
Don't end up living in a housing commission.
Yeah.
All right, year 11 kids. Don't end up being a dog with no collar. All right? This is where you'll end up.
Yay.
So this is that was a warning for them.
Okay, that's a pretty sorry school trip.
It's not fun.
Apparently,
people were in tears. People were in tears when they got to the dog home, asking, oh, are we here because we're going to get a dog? No, no, you're just here to see what happens to the lost dog. Don't worry, kids. I'll cheer you up. Let's go to Wentworth Towers. Have a look at Sergeant broke it into.
Well, we used to go on pretty dodgy school trips in Tim's, New Zealand. I mentioned Tim's on the show today. Okay? I'm sure nobody would remember the Rendezvous or Rendezvous Motel. So many emails.
Oh, really?
Scott Mansfield just one saying, it's still there in Tofu. It's a very funny name for a town when you're a kid. Now it's a fun thing, Tofu. Okay, good to know. We, the school trip, the standard school trip was, hey kids, let's just go to Coromandel, which is just a small town further up the coastline. You go look at the milk bar with the rusting tins of Raro pineapple section in the window. But one day, near the end of 1976, we went to Coromandel. They're making a movie.
Wow.
Now, nobody ever made movies in New Zealand. Turned out to be the first movie made in like 50 years was called Sleeping Dog.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam Neill. Warren Oates was in it.
Oh, really?
It came out in New Zealand to be in it. Sam Neill's first feature-length film. They're doing this absolutely piss-weak car chase for the end of the film through the town of Coromandel. Mm-hmm. Anyway, about 15 years after that, a friend of mine calls me up from New Zealand and goes, you know, Sleeping Dogs is out on the, videotape now.
Mm.
If you go to that car chase at the end and you freeze frame during one of the whip pans, you can see our class reflected in the shop window.
Oh, wow. Here is Sleeping Dogs,
Tom. I don't know if this is true. I've never confirmed it, but he reckoned it was. Now, this was made by Roger Donaldson.
Who went on
to... Oh, I decided to No Way Out. And that one, Dante's Peak.
Oh.
I know. He's come on Martin Malloy, old radio show, to promote Dante's Peak.
Mm.
And I'm going, hi, I was in your first movie.
Sam Neill?
He nearly had a heart attack. I said, okay, you're going to have to go back and freeze frame it.
Wow.
So that was a piss week school trip that turned into a movie crash.
Cinema gold.
Amazing. Enigmatic passerby.
Funny.
Sleeping Dog.
Yeah, I was also enigmatic passerby in an episode of Movie
Crash. That's right.
Your latest knowledge. Mr. Martin. Terrible school trips.
Well, lots in uni, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay, cool.
We had to go to a funeral home. And it was because so we could get used to the idea of,
oh, yeah, the same thing. This is where you don't want to end up.
Pretty much, but everyone does. And no, because I was studying journalism, and we had to sort of familiarize ourselves with death. But it was just a full day of it. So we not only went to the funeral home, we went to the morgue, also to the factory where they make coffins. The summary, huh?
And that annoyed the worst content.
Well, that was just a horrible day.
Rather depressing. Also, we went to a deer farm as a kid. And,
hey, that's better.
Yeah,
that's kind of exciting. But the majority of kids found the dead deer that was washing in a
corner.
Much more exciting. Bambi's mother.
excellent reason, getting a lot more hits.
Can I just ask, Richard, at the funeral home, during the embalming process, is it true they remove your brain?
Yeah.
They do?
I didn't talk me through that.
Because someone told me that they do that. So how exactly do you get buried alive? And they go, oh, I've woken up. They buried me too early. Surely the lack of brain would be a bit of a handicap.
Right.
You're not going to be chipping it out of your own coffin.
Look, zombie movie, mate. Beware. Phone's on you.
Song, brain.
It's not going to work. Well, let's cheer it up a bit as we've got prizes.
Nostalgia Week here on this on Triple M around the network.
Yeah, thanks for the memory, Stuart.
Please, you'll sit off that song. Who's been on a dodgy school trip in Capital?
G'day, Dave.
G'day.
How you going?
How you going, guys?
Oh, we are all excellent. Where'd you go?
I've got a couple for you. Mm-hmm. A couple of really dodgy ones.
Mm-hmm.
This was actually a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Doreen, which is a suburb in the outer northeast of Melbourne.
Right.
This crappy little suburb No offence to anyone.
But why is it the subject of a school trip?
We went there to study housing estates. It was part of geography.
Absolutely fantastic.
Well, what did you learn?
Not much.
Right.
And I got another one for you.
Yes.
This was 2-3 years ago, part of Activities Week, where we're supposed to do all fun activities, we went to the electoral office. I can't remember. I sort of blocked it out.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Fake election. Apparently that's what's happening with the mayor of Melbourne. I've heard something to that effect, but I shouldn't probably comment any further.
In the elections for prefects, when I was in my final year of school, the principal got a small one, got the most votes.
All right, who else has been a dodgy school trip?
Hey, Neil,
Can you tell us yourself?
Yeah, excellent. Where'd you go?
We went to some crappy old sugar cane mill factory. But there was a bonus for all those boys at the end.
Yeah.
Well, we go around the factory, they're all saying, all right, boys, it's quite boring, but wait till you get the Wall of Fame. And they end up being a 10.10 metre wall of naked women. The teachers had trouble today, dragging us away, I tell you.
Great look for a factory tour. Wouldn't you love to see, you know, the Prime Minister and Prince Philip being shown around a factory and stopping at the 10x10 wall of naked chicks?
Maybe a real girl.
What a thing, still got fans to it.
Places like that are fantastic. Who's next?
Good day, Sarah. How are you?
Oh, hello. A few years ago when I was in year 9, we went on an excursion for environmental studies class to a ditch on the side of the road.
And did you?
Pretty average. We had to draw it. Yeah. That was the whole point of the excursion.
Sarah, did you get your photo taken with the ditch?
No, we didn't. There was no camera there. It was just us.
Yeah.
Sorry, the abandoned shopping trolley is closed today. The burning mattress is down. We'll have to go to the ditch on the side of the road.
Sarah,
the prize coming your way. Just time for one more.
G'day, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, guys, how are we?
Excellent. Where'd you go?
In high school back in 84, a group of history and geography teachers thought it'd be good to go to Flemington Markets for the day.
Oh, yeah.
We don't know what the exercise was, but they just went around shopping all day and we just followed them. And
that is fair.
My boys have got time from when I was about 7 years old. We went to Old Sydney Town.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, well, at that age, it was pretty scary seeing the guy getting whipped with the old cat of nine tails.
There you go. Fun day up for everyone. Tell me, at the market, Stephen, what did they take? Would they just get groceries and stuff, or did they buy
them? No. Well, Flemington Markets is like, you know, arts and crafts.
Oh,
I bought a little panther picture, which I've still got, mate, all these years later.
You got your panther picture?
Yeah, I didn't pay for it. I actually stole it.
There you go. Excellent work. Everybody learned something.
Well, I look forward to watching you tonight, Ed.
Yes, it's the final of Thank God.
Yeah, try and get Rude on next year.
Sorry?
Try and get Rodney Rude on next year. I reckon he'd be great in that show.
I reckon he'd be great at 7:30. I'd love to see how much we could show.
I'd love to see. You'd obviously have to take a break from his frog sack tour.
Just finishes your mum's thumb tour. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, everyone that called in.
There was a lot going on in that last
great.
Cool, but hey, we've got to move this caravan on. Everyone will get some kind of prize from the prize king. And in the next hour, you mentioned Thanks God. A nice segue from our last caller. Can you deal with it? Shameboard!
Smashing, drinking, vomiting, and obscene photographs.
And this is it's usually slightly bumper in size, isn't it?
It is. It's been supersized.
Who's in there?
Penny Blake tonight, John McAuliffe, Julia Zemiro.
Anyone who is on a rival radio station on this, on this program.
Yes, Ando.
Ando,
he's a little dancing too. Was he dancing last night? I'm on the telly.
He was not dancing with the parents.
Did he do something for fun?
I think so, yeah.
Perfect. Who else?
We've somebody. That is the missing sort of factor, the goosey factor.
I was very right, because he was the prime. He was episode one. He was one.
He's been away. He's been, you know,
time everything. He's been very busy in the US of A.
Yeah, he has. That's pretty funny. I'm pretty excited to see him from this film. Where the world things are.
I won't talk about it.
Now, why are we plugging him for? Back into your file.
Now, the file. I had a segment on Midday with Ray Martin. Midday show was there, so it was on at lunchtime. They throw me in and word of mouth. And yeah, they had a shame file. And they give me articles from kind of crappy magazines.
Yeah.
And you'd the photos would come up and you'd make up a story.
So it wasn't a bad guy, actually. Without the photos, that's pretty much get this triple M up and lose two or four.
I don't think.
So the files, not the file, pretty cool. The tape, the masters of the Midday show, do they still all exist, do you think, somewhere at 9? Or do they
have to I imagine they would, because I think it was prior to that that they wiped out all Graham Kennedy's stuff and in Melbourne tonight. Because I thought, you know, we needed for, I don't know,
infomercial.
Probably.
Yeah. Richard Wilkins has spoke over much of on MC. No, but, you know, Andrew McCarter comes on the show. He's an archaeologist of old Australian TV shows. Just being able to track down things that didn't even go to air, like the two-way mirror, what he has been unable to find are the master tapes of Are You Being Served Down Under with yourself and John Inman.
Now, that was only called Are You Being Served.
Oh,
since that time, we now call it Are You Being Served Down Under because it's much funnier.
Sure. Surely there was a Down Under on the internet.
But they used to do this thing back then when they get the British sitcom. They'd bring out one of the stars.
We'd love that.
And kind of do an Aussie version. Our version was John Inman, who was the
Mr. Humphrey.
Mr. Humphrey.
Are you free? Yeah, we've got it somewhere in the computer.
Yeah, he's a legend in the Academy brought him out, and the story was that he'd come out of the Australian kind of sibling development.
That makes sense.
I think it was called Great Brothers. Over there, it was called Bone Brothers.
Bone Brothers.
I never thought of that. And the head of it was just a bone, maybe shaking, and he had a blonde earth and all that kind of stuff.
And didn't you
tell the same guy
that John Inman, Mr. Humphrey, taught you the method of walking funny?
Well, he taught one particular style, which was his style.
Yeah, right.
Which was that little kind of you clench at the knees.
Yeah,
you know, you don't swing your arms. Yeah. You get quite a theatrical look.
He taught you to wedge a coin between your butt cheeks.
Yeah.
The coin of the coin.
Yeah, I did want to mention this.
I'm free.
Triple M around the night.
Nation Shane Warne with us. Don't forget the Thank God You're Here season finale tonight on Channel 10 at 7:30.
Mm.
Also see In the City Homicide. Well done, Warne. I know that's been signed up for a second series. Am I right there?
You are right, and that's really good news for Australian drama in general.
Well, let's not beat around the bush. There have been a lot of letters to the editor lately from people who have obviously never seen you in series acting mode.
Yeah, I can notice that.
That's quite surprising. Yeah, no. You know, seriously, I mean, MDA, great show. You won 2 AFI awards for that.
Yes, I did.
But it wasn't widely seen, let's be honest.
Let's be brutally frank. It was on the ABC, and it was an acquired taste and a discerning audience.
That's right. And both of them. You have been doing the series acting for a long time. I remember in the late 80s, you started to show up in the series theatre on stage.
Yes, I did.
And everyone in comedy were going,
what's the opposite?
That's never happened before. Can that happen? Can that crossover occur?
Yeah. Well, it did for a while.
Yeah.
And then I thought, what am I doing?
So how did you make the leap from performing in My Bare Lady, doing the gag work, to the proper acting? How did that change happen?
Well, when I started off, it wasn't you didn't go, I'll create a career in comedy.
You couldn't really make it.
Well, no, you just had to, because the comedians were probably singers or actors or something, so it was more, I just wanted to get into showbiz, and the fastest way, without having to go to kind of college, because I didn't want to study drama, was to go down to the George Hotel and ask Mr. Ludum, who ran My Bare Lady, any chance of a gig. And he said, I'll put you on between the Mighty Atom and Jeanette LeGill. And that's what she did, very kindly.
What was the snake pit? Did you do a bit of downstairs work?
Yes, I did, but upstairs. The snake pit came after. Upstairs, I remember the very first night, tuxedo, plastic shoes. I mean, they were $7 because they used to wear patent leather, which was shiny. Couldn't get them, they were plastic. And I think the audience picked up on that. So the first words I ever heard on stage were, get off your poster! So I wasn't fazed. And I think I've told you this story before, but I did not tell you that Art, very kindly, Art Luden, who was the comedy, would be in the wings on the offstage mic while people were yelling at me, going, shut up, come on, shut up, give the young fellow a gun. Shut up, come on, bro. Which was kind of weird at the time. So he'd kind of been just whacking his shirt. And all men, apart from one woman in the corner with really short hair on his head. But then, as you mentioned, downstairs, later on, purely coincidental, there was a job going as a DJ. And I'll tell you what, it was a rough old bar. Back then, the bouncers were, it was extraordinary. To get in, you walk through an old turnstile. And there were two bouncers. There was an old bloke who had the white shirt and the bow tie, kind of balding grey hair. And he had his hand perpetually kind of bandaged. And we thought that must have been from, an arty accident. Until I saw him on one particular occasion stop the turnstile, which he could do with a pedal, and stuff the bejesus out of this bloke who was caught in the turnstile, and the guy just dropped. But obviously he's got a knuckle duster on so you're not coming in. I'll tell you, there were all sorts used to get in there.
What kind of tunes were you spinning, boy?
I would spin them anything from Backman Turner Overdrive to Fuzzy Pop Road to Back a Decker. It was, the
quo,
because that's what they were into. And if I wasn't playing the right thing, I would know about it. The interesting story was about two turntables. It was all just hands, record on and around, and Kevin Backman Turner, a bit of quo. There was another bouncer there, I forget his name, but he had a tattoo of a crucifix on his forehead.
Oh, right.
Around his neck, he had dot, 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 cut here.
Oh, okay.
And he came up to me, night one. Yeah. And he said, my girlfriend. From about 9, I only used one turntable, but I had only set up ready to go as soon as I saw that first bomb tickle over the bloody doorway. So, as soon as I don't leave. So, it lasted a few weeks. That was fun for
me. Okay, so in that world, when was the first time you found yourself doing what you would call proper acting? you're right.
That's yet to come. I would say, there was a bit of this, a little bit of that. I was in the UK, and years ago, if he went away, people would think, gee, he
definitely pretty good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen for a while.
We'll get him back. We're not allowed to do that. And I came back and worked for the Melbourne Theatre Company doing two plays, one of which was called Bully.
Oh, yeah.
Here it's going. Yeah. Yeah. That was probably, you know, the first big hit out.
Wow.
Mid-80s, and that was fantastic. Meanwhile, I was doing a little bit of breakfast radio at the same time. On Bert, Bert Nitton was managing a radio station, a land station called 3DB, and it was billed as a new beginning. And it had become the big ending to me about 6 weeks.
And do you ever find that conflict still happening? I mean, you're on the set, and you're on the side. Do you find yourself just opening doors and giving a bit of your world away?
Yeah.
Is this something that's been led in for questioning? Have you ever dropped one of those?
Well, yeah, a little bit of that. And I'm expecting the people when we turn up in the car, I can burst through the door. I'm waiting for them to get in.
Surely they could squeeze one in. Oh, look, so much to get to. So, I mean, we haven't even mentioned Bingle. But we've got it. Hey, maybe that'll fit into our next segment, which is called You Call That Entertainment? Hey, don't get this.
It's the John Butler Trio, Better Than Here, Get This, Around the Nation on Triple M. Shane Bourne is sitting in with us today. I just received a note from a listener, Leslie, who said she once saw a band called Bandicoot.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring a fabulous harmonica player in leopard skin pants.
Yep.
That was you.
Oh, well, but I wasn't. I didn't play the harp back then. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but... Yeah, there was a band called Bandicoot, which was myself and a singer by the name of Mick Pettis, who was ex-Ladder Lake with
Big
Hit in Melbourne.
10-pound toothbrush, was that there?
Oh, that was 9-pound.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm definitely New Zealand
first. With the memorable lyric, na 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 na.
It was very catchy. They played at Sunbury. They supported the Rolling Stones. And I remember Mick came off afterwards mortified because he realised he'd fly.
Oh, yeah.
So we had a band called Bandicoot, recorded an album. Unfortunately, the record company I think they got to about the 1,000 copies of the Bandicoot.
Oh, that's right.
They broke. So they're collector's items. I've had people come up to me and go, guess what? I've got, you know, blah, 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 usually bottles.
Yeah, right.
And I did see it not all that long ago in a kind of Woolworths. One of those
things that you a reunion, maybe
Bandicoot are back.
Big day out at home, mate.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And in Critics Music for City Homicide.
From a bone show. A big claim to fame was Cold Chisel supported Bandicoot at the Large Hotel, Large Pier Hotel in Adelaide in about 1976.
Okay, that's too good for this segment. What we're doing is, you call that entertainment? Because we had Senator Shalala come on recently, and he went to a comedy club in Perth back in the 80s, where the MC for the night got out on stage with the microphone and a tape recorder and just played a Kevin Bloody Wilson album in people missed the line, he'd rewind a bit and play the joke again. Now, is that as low as it goes?
Was it a performance art?
No, see, that would be interesting. No, that's just a comedy night. Kevin Bloody Wilson live. Technically.
Sort of.
Have you seen any of
in Germany last year for the World Cup? Obviously, every street performer in the world has converged on Germany. They'll be able to tour through and we're all in a good mood. And we were willing to pay for quite, you know, crappy things happening on the street. There was one guy that did tricks with a basketball, Shane, except the basketball was invisible. So it was just a guy standing there pretending to bounce a basketball, like all around himself, and juggle. That was it.
That's pretty bad.
I remember a guy at the Sydney Comedy Store early 80s. I don't know his name, but he's a coffin. And he'd come out of the coffin. I think it was, that's all he did.
And he died. Every guy died.
Yeah, pretty much. And he used to get booed, but it didn't matter.
Just because he was in the coffin. What are you going to do? And just cremated at the end of every gig. Wow, that's pretty, I mean, that is pretty luck. I have to say, I'm going to dob in a great Australian comedian, Greg Fleet, comes on this show. Excellent stand-up comedian. I was at what I'm pretty sure was his very first gig in about 88 or 89. He was 88 at the Prince Patrick Hotel in Collingwood. And this is what Fleet used to do. He called himself a sit-down comedian.
Oh, yeah.
He came out and sat in a chair and he'd act. was just reading out funny bits from their book, The Golden Turkey Awards. Remember that book where the guy did the 50-word book? And he just read out his favourite bits from it.
That was his day. Within a year,
he was like one of the best stand-ups on the circuit. But that's an interesting idea.
Well, it's false, because I mean, there's always a character involved.
Can we go lower, Mr. Barclay?
There is a Sydney comedian. Who is quite legendary. This is a performance maybe that took place about 18 months ago. He did his entire gig and then did a whole bunch of other things on the drug Stilnox, which is a very famous sleeping drug that makes people do wacky things.
Yep.
So he's done his whole performance on Stilnox. I think it might even be on YouTube as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the same Hollywood Brett Shegel.
Oh, yes.
Hollywood Brett.
Yeah,
if you want to see most people's act on, check out Hollywood.
Is that right?
Oh, that's good.
There we go. Yeah,
I've had
to go to
Stilnox,
that's what I heard.
Yeah. So it's probably topical. Yeah. You know, the best of George Milovich since Serenity and Austin Justice.
Okay, so
you want to do the best bit instead of all that other rubbish they do.
So he does 10 minutes of material and gets a few door frames painted as
well.
It's a lot done on the Stilnox. People in their sleep. I mean, I don't know if this is, nothing at all. But a lot of people just getting up in the middle of the night making a sandwich.
Mm.
Stop drooling here.
Doing things that are getting into the car.
Comedians on Stilnox. A bloke playing a tape to the crowd. A man who just steps out of a coffin and gets back
in. Pretty good. That's the best of them so far.
You call that entertainment. Call up with your one. 1-333-53.
They employ up to 600 girls.
Get this around the nation on Triple M. Good afternoon, everybody. Shane Bourne is with us. Thank God you're here. Final lap for the series. The bumper chockers filled one. That goes out tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10. But let's lower the bar for entertainment. You want to be? You want to see how low we can go, Shane? Now you call that entertainment. Who's going first?
Good day, Mick.
How are you going, guys?
Hey, good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Talking through the dodgy entertainment.
Yeah, well, I think I was about grade 6 at the time. We were in a theatre group.
Oh, yeah.
We used to do the tour, a big tour.
Yep.
And one part of our act was we'd have about 5 Year 6 students in a wheelie bin.
Oh, and what would you do in this wheelie bin?
Well, a guy dressed up as a janitor would wheel a bin out in the middle of the where everyone was standing and just sort of leave it there and walk away. And then the music to 2010 A Space Odyssey start playing.
Yeah.
And one person would hop out the bin, sort of walk around, like it was sort of like a new, coming to a new world sort of thing.
Yeah.
And after about the third one, everyone would sort of go, oh, how many more? And then the fourth one. And then, of course, the fifth one would come out and people would be, you just leave the bin there for 5 to 10 minutes and people would wait for another person to come out.
Pretty good.
Halfway through the thing, the music ran out of the stop and changed tape.
And then the other side was Summer Hits of 87, so ring my bell after that.
What?
Good time.
Okay. I think we've reached the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, those are all the ones we can put to air, so yeah. The other ones are fairly libelous.
But, you know, when you go through the bottom of the barrel, who do you usually find there?
Not my good self?
No, Kenny G.
All right,
we're going to try and get to him today. I get a feeling people are switching over. No, it's going to be worth it. I promise you, I'll get there. On Triple M. Bit of a kickback, that one. Shane Bourne is with us. You've seen him on Thank God You're Here. You've seen him on City Homicide. And you might remember him on NDA, which was it's a medical legal drama, as I recall it.
Yeah. It's pretty complex when you look at it on paper. Let's get medical insurance.
Yeah.
But I've got to say, there was some really good work in it.
Oh, sure.
Some interesting ethical dilemmas.
See, you might say that, but we've got our own medical drama here.
Yeah, okay. Sort of like Dr. House, you know, because, you know,
he's antisocial.
All right.
Qualities that normally people don't like, but because he's a brilliant doctor, people like him. So we've gone down that path.
Coming to the
as a diagnostic surgeon, I've never come across a case like this.
We're getting no response, doctor.
Damn it. Google it again. There has to be something out there.
Doctor, the patient's starting to get convulsions. What do you do?
I don't know. What do you think, Kenny G?
Well, see what you think of this.
Doctor, we're losing him!
Oh, my God. Doctor, wait! Hey, hang on. Crush! Yeah? Yeah, I think I can work with this. Here we go.
This is good. I can get this mode.
Hold on. Here we go.
Come on, breathe, Dad. You can do it. Come on, live, damn you.
We'll be right back.
I can get this note. Hold on. Here we go.
Come on, breathe, then. You can do it.
Come on, live, damn you.
Yeah.